This is Get a Real Job, the podcast devoted to people who choose risk over safe bets, who pursue their passion against all odds and are doing what they want, how they want, despite people and sometimes the voices in their own heads telling them they're nuts.
When the field that I wanted to work in didn't exist, I created it.
The only thing you have to decide is how hard do you want to work.
I really never went into the design of the restaurant of not succeeding. One way or another, I was going to succeed.
I'm your host, Dan Bova, editorial director of Entrepreneur.com. Thanks for listening. And now, get a real job. Interviewing today's guest before I have lunch, there's a real danger I'm going to start drooling all over the damn place. Rodney Scott is a certified pit master, a James Beard Award winner for Best Chef, and founder and co-owner of Rodney Scott's Whole Hog BBQ Restaurants. Are you ready to talk pigging out? Well, then welcome to the show, Rodney Scott. Rodney, how are you?
Man, every day is a good day. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome, awesome. So the Whole Hog, it is a magical thing. I grew up on Long Island in New York where whole hog roasting wasn't really a thing. But a couple of years ago, I did host a whole hog roasting party in my backyard, and I've never experienced anything like it before. Can you explain the mystique and the majesty of the whole hog?
Oh man! First of all, the whole hog is it's one experience that a lot of people tend never to forget. Yes. The whole hog is a difference you can taste. You have every part that you could combine together and enjoy. You're talking shoulder, ham, loin, belly meat, some of the neck meat, all of these different parts and different textures. You can combine together and have a sandwich that's just amazing to me.
It's true. And it just the time it takes and the anticipation watching that thing, you know, turn on the spit, it's incredible.
Yeah. You know, the time it takes to cook a whole hog, you gotta set aside at least a half a day.
Yes.
It's something that you commit to. You don't just get in and say you change your mind. You have to be all in for it. And you have to prepare anywhere from 24 to 48 hours prior in order to get this thing done. So it's not one of those things that you think you're going to be out there for 35 minutes or 40 minutes on the grill and you just can go back in.
Right.
You got to stick in there. You got to prepare yourself mentally, physically, and dive in.
Yes. So how long have you been, so you're a pit master. First of all, what does that entail exactly? And then how long have you been at this?
Pit master usually entails a person that cooks with fire, does not use any gauges, does not use any thermometers or any assistance other than manual, is usually what most people call a pit master.
Mm-hmm.
Some pit masters have been called worse, but that's another story. but that's usually the term that I've been told that a pit master fits, is to be able to cook without assistance and with fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been at it since I was about 17 years old, full time. Wow. Did the first one when I was 11.
Whoa.
And when I graduated high school at 17, I went full time cooking whole hogs, and I will be 50 in November. So
how many whole hogs have you roasted over the years, do you think?
The amount of whole hogs that I've roasted in the last 33 years or so has been too damn many. I mean, a lot. If I had to count, I wouldn't know where to start. You know,
if a pig sees you coming, they better run.
Yeah, pretty much. I can just about tell you how long it'll take to cook him if I look at it.
So you got into this when you were, you said that you were 11?
At the age of 11 was when I kind of got started. You know, growing up, my family had a little general store that did barbecue on the side. And, you know, out in the rural areas of Hemingway and Neesmith, South Carolina, you had chores. And one of them that day was for me to fire this hog.
Mm.
And it was cook the hog and you can go to this basketball game. And they got it loaded and I wanted to go to that game so bad. And that was my job for the day. And my dad left me there to tend to it.
Yeah.
And in doing that, he had somebody else supervising on the low. I didn't know the guy was watching. And, you know, I did everything he told me to do and kept an eye on it, kept listening for the drips and made sure I didn't char the belly area while I was cooking it. And it came out pretty good. And I mean, that was your job. So,
yeah. So you remember the hog. Do you remember the basketball game?
We lost the basketball game that night. I didn't play, but the game that I went to go see, my school lost. And I was just happy to get away to go to that game because it was somewhat of a rivalry game.
So your motivation for doing it the first time was, a chore that you had to get done to do something else. But was something obviously something got sparked there. You know, we're talking, 40-ish years later, you're still at it and you're a certified master at it. So what happened there?
Well, let me tell you, that spark didn't come overnight. You know, it was a lot of, I want to get out of here. I don't want to do this. And one of those long cooks, again, 12 hours. Mm. You got time to manually work, sit for a second, manually work again, keep your fire going and all of these good things. And in the middle of that, I was like, I need to have fun while I'm doing this. What do I do? Music was the first thing. And then after the music would entertain me kind of through the cook, the next thing I noticed and started to learn was people are interested in this. Why don't I turn this into fun? And I started to pay attention to how things were cooked on the fire, how great they can taste. And we would play around with other little things if we had some, like a piece of bologna or a piece of chicken or whatever that we had laying around. We would try things.
Mm.
And I started to get a little interest in it because everything that you tried, you got a chance to taste.
Right, right.
And, you know, I'm a young teenager, well, old teenager at 18 years old or so, and I want to eat.
Yeah, right.
And that's when I kind of fell into it, knowing that this thing is supply and demand. We can put this out here, and no matter what happens in life, people are going to eat.
Right.
And I said, we're holding something that's powerful. I'm going to learn how to do this better. I'm going to figure out how to do this thing to a point where I'm going to enjoy it and make a living out of it.
That's awesome. And that's such a great thing with cooking. Obviously, I'm not a professional chef, but it's like putting together a model or putting together a puzzle, but then you get to eat it at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You get rewarded for this hard work. You get a reward for, you know, learning something and sharing it with other people. You know, you spend this time preparing this protein. You like the way it looks. You get a taste of it. You think it's great. You call somebody over or share it or whatever. And that's an experience, man, for me, that's just amazing. And not only is it amazing, but I found out that people will pay you for it if it's great.
Right.
You know, yeah. That's another bonus.
Right, right. So when did that, you know, when did it sort of become, it goes from a hobby to something that you realize you can make some money at, but when does it become clear to you that like, no, this is what I'm going to do?
I think it became clear to me that this was what I was going to do at the age of about 23 years old.
Mm.
And I wanted to hang out in Myrtle Beach and I wanted a motorcycle. And at the same time, you know, I was a new father and I was like, for me to do all of this, I need to make some money.
Mm.
And that's when I decided, you know, this is a thing I need to work on. This is something I need to go after. I can make the best of this. And going to Myrtle Beach, sometimes people would see me in my uniform because I would go straight there from work. Okay. And they would question, where is this place? Is the food good? And I started to advertise it. And then it got to the point where I would wear my little work uniform sometimes just to spark the conversation.
Right.
So that's when I knew. I was like, man, this is possibly an opportunity to dive into this thing 100%, push it along. I think it's the time now that I can probably build my account and build this business as well.
So how did you start? Did you started with one location? Did you was it yours? Like how did you begin?
Well, of course, like I said earlier, I started with working with the family.
Yeah.
And my family cooked hogs, started out one day a week, and then my dad moved up to 3 days a week. And working in the family business, he had some issues with, you know, taxes and whatnot, you know, rural areas, cash only business. Some people just take advantage. And because we didn't do things, well, things weren't handled properly, that led us to me being in control. He said, well, I'm going to put you in charge.
Huh.
And that's when I said, here's my opportunity. And I would try to advertise and grow. This was 2011. And I started to tell people about it and take it to people and let them taste it. And I just kept saying, I'm going to put the word out and make this thing grow. So around 2011 was about the time that I went all in with both feet, just trying to push this business along.
And then, so talk to me about the growth of it. You know, you've got, would you call it a chain? How many restaurants have you opened now?
So far, I cooked in Hemingway from 2011 until 2016. And in 2017, we opened our first Rodney Scott's Whole Hog Barbecue in Charleston, South Carolina. And we've since expanded to Birmingham, Alabama with our second location. And as of this year, we're expecting to open our third location in Atlanta, Georgia, with two more to follow with Homewood, Alabama and Trustville, Alabama. So we are not a chain. We're still, you know, me and my brother Nick, we're still together.
Yeah.
We're growing, you know, at a comfortable pace, not too fast, not too slow. And we went from one location in 2017 to possibly five by the end of 2021.
That's incredible. More coming up from our guests, but first, a word from our sponsor. Look, 2020 has proven to be the year of many things. But if you own a small business, this could also be the year you switch to better payroll. Gusto wasn't just built for small businesses, it was built for the people behind them. Their online payroll is so easy to use. Gusto can automatically calculate paychecks and file all your payroll taxes, which means you have more time to run your business. Plus, Gusto does way more than payroll. Gusto helps with time tracking, health insurance, 401ks, onboarding, commuter benefits, offer letters, access to HR experts. You get the idea. It's super easy to set up and get started. And if you're moving from another provider, they can transfer all your data for you. It's no surprise 94% of customers are likely to recommend Gusto. And here's the best part. Because you're a listener, you get 3 months totally free. Totally free for 3 months. That's awesome. All you have to do is go to gusto.com/GARJ. Again, that's gusto.com/GARJ. I'm telling you, you're going to love Gusto. Get started today. And we're back. So a couple of questions. The most important to me is, when are you going to open one in New York? because I'm starving right now, and just thinking about this is making me drool, as I said. But also, you know, that's an interesting phrase you said. You know, you're growing, but you're not growing like wildly out of control. How are you kind of maintaining quality control, I guess I could say, or maintaining that everything's the same at all the different locations that you open?
Well, we're maintaining quality control at all of our different locations by having recipes available to everybody that works in our restaurants. We also pay personal visits to make sure that everybody understands and know what we want, how we want it prepared, how we want it served. On top of all of that, we don't accept any shortcuts or anybody doing anything different. I mean, we all know if you don't do the job like you're supposed to, we have to replace you. So we let people know that we're going to serve this food this way. We're going to follow procedures. We have a complete handbook for everybody that works in our pits. I mean, detailed to the bone. And we try to train our people and work with them. But before we release them into a restaurant on their own, we have them work with our current pit masters and the people who have already learned the job itself to help train and create a consistent consistent dish wherever it's served.
That's great. So what happens when you roll up? Do the people inside panic? What's your style when you walk into one of your locations?
Usually when I walk into one of my locations, one of the first thing I do is ask, how y'all doing?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, hey, Rodney, how are you? And it's usually a calm effect because everybody seems to be doing what they're supposed to. Everybody's handling things like they're supposed to. And they all know at the current locations now, they all know that I can pull up and tell you if you're firing too fast.
Mm.
I can pull up and tell you if you're behind on your cook because of the aroma in the air.
Wow.
And some people may not believe that, but my Nicholas is Nick's son. He laughed at me when I first told him that, but guess who knows how to do that now? Nicholas.
Can you describe that at all? Like what is your behind smell like? That came out weirdly. I don't want to know
how you're behind.
Thank you. What are you detecting in the air to know that something's on track or falling behind?
So when you first start firing a hog, there's an aroma of the heat hitting the fat, and the meat is just the edges of the meat is just starting to cook, and there's an aroma that's kind of like when you first close down your grill at home. It's just starting to cook, and you get this one aroma. And when you pull up and you smell like it's just starting to cook, I'm like, whoa, we're going to be late today. Mm. We need to hurry up.
Right.
And the aroma when you're cooking too fast is you smell meat cooked, but you get tiny, tiny hints of bits and pieces starting to burn.
Mm.
So you pick up on that. And not only that, you look in the pits and you can see that smoke is rolling too fast. And they're cooking it too fast. They're rushing.
Right, right.
Or you can hear the fat dripping real fast when you're way too hot and you're at risk of flare-up.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. And I guess it comes with, 40 years of experience. That's pretty amazing. So, I think it's awesome. You're talking about the way you sort of got the word out by kind of walking around in your uniform and inviting conversation about it. How are you going about that now? How are you getting the word out as you open more locations? And, as you play into, the personality behind these stores, these restaurants, what are you doing to bring attention to your business?
Today, to bring attention to the business, it is, you can count the days on one hand and have two fingers left that I'm not wearing a Rodney Scott's t-shirt.
Okay, great.
You got a lot of athletic brands out there that people wear because they like them and they love them. My whole thing was to wear the brand that we've created and wear it proudly.
Right.
Let the world see, you see that athletic brand, you don't even know who created the design.
Right, right.
But when you see the Rodney Scott brand and they question, you can explain to them, well, I'm Rodney Scott.
Huh.
This is our restaurant.
Yeah.
We have them in this area, in this area. You should visit us. Check us out. When I'm in the airport, I will be wearing Rodney Scott branded stuff. When I'm in public, Rodney Scott branded stuff. I'm telling you, every time I can go out, I wear it. Even face mask, Rodney Scott branded. 90% of the time, it's Rodney Scott branded.
Right, and right.
You kind of put it in their face. You strike the curiosity. And when they ask you tell them. And then sometimes they don't even ask. They Google what you're wearing and say, oh, my God. NFL football game I was at a couple years ago, I promise you, I walked in with a Rodney Scott shirt on, completely odd. People said, this place must be good for you to wear this shirt. And I said, I stand behind everything that they sell. It works. It's free advertisement. You're walking billboard.
That's great. That's fantastic. That's super smart. Why wouldn't everything you just said makes total sense? People should be taking note. Are there any chefs or restaurateurs or people in any industry that you kind of have looked to for inspiration on in the way that they've grown their brand grown bigger over the years?
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you a name that a lot of people may or may not have heard. Paul Yek, he works with us. He's a little younger than I am. He's trained. He's worked with Frank Stitt. He's worked with Jose Andres. He's worked, in several cities throughout the United States. And this guy is smart. He knows food. He knows food. He knows how to handle food. He understands how to put flavors together. He's amazing. There's another local young lady here and her husband, Just Stuff It Catering. They do an amazing job. And these are the kind of people that inspire me, the ones that not a lot of people have heard of, and they're doing great things. I'm inspired by a lot of them, but I'm also inspired by people we know. Danny Meyer, for example, the way he grew Union Square Hospitality. My brother, my man, Nick, the way he grew his Jim and Nick's brand. All of these people are inspirations. So my inspirations aren't always folks that a lot of other folks have heard of, but just people that I encounter and I see their work ethic, their product, and the way that they carry themselves and their businesses. All of that is kind of an inspiration for me.
That's great. And so what have you found, you've kind of already answered this, but in those people that you admire and in yourself, advice to people who are just starting out, to the 20-year-olds that are making something in their backyard and thinking about, hey, maybe I could sell this. What are sort of the starting points and what do you advise people who ask you, like, how do I get this thing off the ground?
One of the first things I tell people, chefs, or future pit masters, how to get started and how to get their product and their business off the ground is to find your brand, find your thing. Is it whole hog? Is it chicken? Is it stuffed shrimp? Whatever your thing is, find it. Know it, understand it, love it. Then protect yourself. Get your name, your company, your logo, get all of this stuff together. Have it protected. And once you get all of that, make sure you get all the necessary things it takes to run a business. An accountant, food handler's permit, restaurant permits, all of the necessary legalities that are required that they may or may not know about. Handle all of that stuff first. Once you get all of that stuff together, make sure you have your family life together. Make sure you have your health together so that you can balance everything out. You want to be strong. You don't want to burn yourself out mentally or physically. Take it slow. Believe in yourself. Keep cooking. And if you think your product is great, stand behind it. Push it. Keep pushing it. Because there are a lot of people out there who may or may not like what you do, but that doesn't mean it's done wrong.
Right, right.
So stay confident. Keep cooking. Don't let anybody tell you you're not good enough or you can't make it. Keep on going and don't be afraid to fail.
That's awesome. That is such great advice. And I love the title of your cookbook, which is coming out pretty soon. Every day is a good day, which is how you answered the phone when we started talking. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Let me tell you about Every Day is a Good Day and why it's on the cover of that book. The cover of that book title is Rodney Scott's World of Barbecue, which I'm trying to explain to you that this is my life. This is my world. And this is also what I do. And there's a hologram on that book that says, every day is a good day. I had some times back in the early 2000s when I felt a little down about what I was doing. I felt like I can't progress. I can't make money. I can't build the business to where I want it. And I kept saying to myself, think positive. And I was walking out of my door one day and I said, every day is a good day. And I kept repeating it throughout the day. And the more I said it, the better I felt. So I keep saying it every time. And one person asked me, well, what do you say on a bad day? And I said, I don't have bad days. I have challenging days.
Uh-huh.
So every day is a good day when you're alive, because here's another opportunity for you to get yesterday right.
Right.
So there's no bad days. It's just a challenging day to say, let me figure this out and get past this, so tomorrow can also be a good day.
I love that. That's great. And, you know, speaking of challenging days, we've all and every industry has had a challenging year, to say the least. You know, how have you guys sort of managed the lockdown and the pandemic? And, you know, looking ahead a month or so from now, you know, what do things look like for you?
Well, you know, yes, we've just came through one of the toughest years ever for a lot of people in their lives. And I still continue to say every day is a good day and we're going to be fine. We handled it by, we had a drive-through, first of all, here in Charleston. That drive-through was a bonus to people feeling some sort of comfort to come and pick up food without touching or having to be within that 6 feet of somebody. In that process, it slowly led us back to getting people back to work, and they were able to come in the restaurant and work for the drive-through and do to-go orders. And in doing that, we just kind of kept communicating with each other. All of the owners in my restaurant group, Hackers Restaurant Group, we talked every day communicating on CDC rules and regulations, trying to keep people's hope together. And we would constantly say, hey, if we do this, we'll be fine. Protect yourself, carry yourself, you know, as safe as you can. And in doing that, a lot of our people started to feel more confident. Our staff started to feel a lot more confident in getting back to work. All in all, people were still scared. Don't get me wrong. So was I. But we tried to be as careful as possible, stay in safe areas as possible, but still able to kind of comfort some people who wanted to come out and get barbecue. With that said, I feel like that was a scary moment for the food industry and a lot of people in the world. But it's also a note to say everything is going to be way better than it ever was before.
Mm-hmm.
The world is going to come back out. People are going to start dining out again, celebrating anniversaries and birthdays at the dinner table, throwing backyard parties again. We're going to get so far past this that it's going to be an amazing thing, and people are going to have fun eating, going back out and being safer than ever before, and our whole food world is going to be great.
That's awesome, inspiring words, and I know I can't wait for exactly what you just described. So I think you better fire up a couple of extra hogs, because I think people are going to go crazy when things really open back up. So
yes,
cool stuff. Can you remind people what's the title of your cookbook?
The title of my cookbook is Rodney Scott's World of Barbecue. Every day is a good day. It was released on March 16th. It's also available on at some local bookstores. It's available on, Barnes & Noble's website, Amazon. Hopefully we'll have them in the restaurant soon. I think they're coming to Target as well. We're going to try to put them everywhere.
What do you think's the recipe that, I know they're probably all amazing, but what's the one recipe that maybe, the novices should give a shot?
The one recipe that the novices should give a shot is, I would say, the Rodney Spare Rib recipe. You know, that's one of the ones that's not going to be so scary for you. It's not going to be so complicated that you can't handle it. The rib rub recipe is in there. If you don't want to purchase it from us online, you can try to make it out of the book. That's available in there as well. The sauce recipe, you can either purchase it from us online or again, make it out of the book. But either way, everything that you need is in that book for that spare rib.
All
except
right.
for that spare rib. You got to go get that rib from the store. But we got you covered on everything it takes to flavor that rib. And it kind of walks you through. And that will be one of the first of the easiest things that I think the novice can cook at home.
All right. All right. Well, I accept that challenge. I'm gonna give that a shot because I love ribs. And, you know, I'm looking at your website and I'm drooling here. So, so Rodney Scott, it's been awesome talking to you. So happy to hear about this expansion that's going on. Can't wait to dive into this book and hope to talk to you again soon. And maybe I'll send you the ribs, see if I qualify as a pitmaster.
Please do. Send me those ribs. And remember, man, when you make a mistake, don't worry about it. Learn from it.
Right. I feel like you're anticipating I'm going to make a mistake, but
no.
I'll take that advice.
That's our episode, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Get a Real Job comes out every Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you harvest your favorite podcasts. Leave us a review, give us a share. Don't make me beg people. Go to entrepreneur.com for new episodes of this and to listen to our other great podcasts. Thanks.